You're listening to A Midlife Less Ordinary, the weekly podcast giving you the lowdown on becoming a cool older dude. The good times are not a faded memory. It's time to start living them again. And here are your hosts, Wayne and Trev.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to A Midlife Less Ordinary. And today's title is Artist's Life. Trev, who's always here. I'm Wayne, by the way, if you didn't know that already. And Trev's here with his charcoal. And he's
about to put my vocal talents on the canvas.
Yes, exactly. It's because today, as you can probably guess, is all about, we've managed to secure an artist who's based in Leigh-on-Sea in Essex. He's got some great work. And we'll give you the links to his work later. He's coming on to just tell us about the art scene, how to support your local artists. Trev, what do you think about art in general and the person we've secured today?
It's funny with art because I feel like I like a lot of art. I'm a big Banksy fan, big Shepard Fairey fan. I've got a street graffiti kind of stuff. But I'm kind of cut between the two because the abstract stuff, I don't see a lot in it. I'm like, well, what's that? Like, I don't really understand when that guy cut the sheep in half and put him in resin. Like, what was that about? But, like, real kind of, yeah, I feel like I appreciate it without being too into it.
Yeah.
What about you?
Well, yeah, I'm the same as you. I can appreciate it. As we know, art is subjective and obviously value appears over time and it depends on how the artist is well known, basically, isn't it? And a historic significance. But I like some of the different art because if you have a portrait of King Henry on the wall, I mean, it's not very original, is it? I mean, I'd like to have the original, obviously, but from the National Portrait Gallery, but it's not very original. So I like saying that's a bit out there, a bit, not saying that it'll give me nightmares particularly, but we know somebody who could do that for us. But
yeah, because I come from like a comic background, I've always been quite visually turned on.
You know, this is about art, Trev, not yeah, where you're going with this.
Yes, I've always been quite like visually into stuff. So, but with, I think as well, being a kind of a bit of a layman to the art world, is it's like one of those, sometimes it feels like one of those closed circuit things where you feel like you're not cool enough to go to an art gallery or you're not. Does that make sense? You'd feel like.
Yeah, exactly. It should be more accessible. And this is what we're hoping to get out of today's episode, isn't it?
Hopefully, talking to Andy, we'll get that out that it can be a lot more accessible and it's not exclusive, you know.
It's not for just people in central London who just want to, you know, visit the top class.
Exactly.
There is
art for everyday people. We've
been to a few exhibitions for people we know and I've really enjoyed it, to be fair. So today's artist that we've managed to secure is Andy Downs. He's got a website, andydownsart.co.uk. He's on Instagram, typing his name. We'll put some links in on the website, obviously. Check out his work. It's great.
I really like it. I'm a big fan of him.
Exactly, which is why we tried to secure him today. So, yeah, what do you know about Andy, Triv?
Again, he's a really great local artist. He does some really different stuff. It's quite up to the minute without it being so kind of up to the minute that you don't understand it. Again, it's a real nice mix of contemporary and for the everyman.
Got great use of colours. A portrait artist.
Contemporary and everyman. I like to sort of
you are professional,
come across
Chris.
Like I know what I'm talking about.
Exactly.
You think so?
Yeah, you've been
you agree.
You've been watching Lovejoy again or something, haven't you? Like trying to pick up and stuff.
Oh man, don't make me think of Lovejoy. All I can think of is the Vic Reeves when Bob Mortimer was Lovejoy. Fire up.
I knew you'd have a reference somewhere to it.
Yeah, I know. One of the funniest things I've ever seen. Anyway,
so with no further ado, we'll introduce Andy. He's here to just talk about his life as an artist and hopefully encourage some of you to support your local art scene and everything. So here we go. Thanks for joining us today, Andy. And I'd just like to ask you as a first question, basically, how did you start in the art world? Was it something you learnt at school or was you an artist, you know, straight out the door kind of thing? How did you start, basically?
Hi, thanks for having me. The reason I was a good artist at school, my dad is a good artist, but he never took it anywhere. And I was at school and thinking, right, this is my thing in life. I'm going to be a, a fantastic global artist. And then because I had great respect for my mum and dad, they sort of put me off of it. They're going down the road of you never make any money out and things like that. So I joined the army, basically.
Wow.
So my life took a different track to what I totally expected.
Yeah, that's one end of the spectrum to the other, isn't it? It's like, hold on, that's interesting, Andy.
I'm a Colchester boy anyway, so obviously I was surrounded by the forces, but I just needed to get out of there, and I couldn't see a way to leave. And the army seemed a sensible thing to do because, you know, a young lad is bumming around. It gives you a bit of stability in life, a bit of structure, and mainly it got me out of Colchester, which is what I wanted.
Yeah. Did you still do any art when you were in the army? Did you still, or did you not get time?
All my life I've sort of doodled, but never really gone into major pictures. So I think I've spent the last 30 years sort of doing cartoons, really, or 20 years doing cartoons, and just quick doodles, a sketch of somebody, things like that, but never got heavily into oil paints or anything like that. I've always had an interest in it. I'm a very visual person. I'll get my head into a book, and in about 10 minutes into the book, I'll fall asleep.
Like us all, mate. Like us all. Yeah. Wayne can't even read. So don't worry
about thanks
it.
For this trick. Yeah.
yeah, Wayne can't even read.
I'm on the Jack and John books or whatever they're called. This one.
but I can certainly look through a comic or something like that. I can spend hours rifling the pages of those. But say letters, I'll just get sort of word blind after a while.
Sorry, Andy, I'm going back to that because obviously I've never done my research properly because I try and make it, you know, very research show. But we didn't know you was in the army, obviously. Was you based at Colchester Barracks, was you?
It's a top secret, actually.
We won't. Obviously, it's only the listeners. Yeah, we will keep it quiet. Yes.
Wayne, the art is just a cover.
Yeah.
It's like a deep art.
This is like CIA stuff.
Uncovered it live on. You heard it first on AMLO.
we'll say no more. It's top secret, as they say.
No, I was at 17 Port Maritime in March, and I was basically a docker, a stevedore. I unloaded the boats like the Galahad and the Tristan, you know, ones in the Falklands that got the hell blown out of them in the harbour. I worked on them. Not at that time, though, because I'm not old enough for that.
Was you like an engineer then, Andy, yeah?
No, I was a stevedore. So in civilian role, I'd be at Felixstowe or Portsmouth unloading and loading ships and things like that. So.
Wow, no, sorry, I've diversified there totally. So, yeah.
Strange enough, Wayne, now you've said that, you've actually virtually answered one of my questions, because I was going to ask that if you went to sort of art school, but obviously you're in the army then, so you didn't, or did you? Did you follow it up after the army, Andy, or was that?
No, I came out of the army, went into the motor trade, worked my way in the motor trade for about 15 years from car valeter up to dealer principal. So I was managing car dealerships, basically like Honda and Mitsubishi and things like that. And then retrained as a plumber when I had my daughter, because I was spending far too much time at work. So I thought, the way that I can move forward is to be my own boss. Retrained as a plumber, fitted bathrooms for the last 12 years. And then about 5-6 years ago, ended my marriage. And instead of going on hard drugs and drinking the life out of myself, I turned back to art.
Take note, Wayne.
It sounds great, yeah.
I want to be Andy by the sound of it. It's just
it's always been my passion. Always been my passion. But
you're going to say, what's your inspiration for it, Andy? What do you look at stuff and think that would make a really good piece of art, or would make a really good painting, or that subject would be, you know, where do you take it, or does it just come to you? Do you just sit on the toilet and think, I'm going to do that? You know? You see the way I think, Andy, can't you?
When I was a kid, I was a victim of watching far too much TV, I think. So
we like to hear this, don't we?
Yeah, listen to this week's episode. You'll like that.
Yeah. I was going to say, I'm very visual. I must have spent so many hours in front of the TV, all the, you know, Back to the Futures, Indiana Jones, all the Alien trilogy, things like that. I've always been interested in model making, sort of airbrushing, you know, sci-fi, anything that expands the mind, really, without drugs, to be honest with you. And I just enjoy that creativity so much. I'm sort of infected by it.
You saying about that, Andy, you've actually opened up a question that I'd never thought of before, but you said about drugs and artists. I'm not obviously you've said you've stayed away from that scene, but people that do take certain mind-altering substances. do they produce a different kind of art, or can it be is it always abstract or something, or is it just inspiration?
I think it depends on your creativity, really. I mean, I know artists in all sorts of genres, and you know, they partake in recreational substances, should we say, and they're all producing, you know, from portraits to bonkers DMT abstracts. You know, it just depends on the person, their creative vision, really. Artists, I always say this about artists, is what they're putting down, really, is their voice, their vision, and their view of the world. You know, because all our brains work in different ways. Some people look for football, some people look for girls, some people look for both.
You just summed mine up just in two sentences there. You just summed him up.
I just think it's a case of what you put into paper, really, is what you want to show the world is sort of going on inside to a certain degree.
Yeah,
expression. Is it? You know, what would you describe your art, Andy? How would you describe it?
Loud and colourful, and usually with some kind of fun element to it. Either it's, you know, it's actually written in there, or it's got colour that sort of can make you smile. You know, if that makes sense at all. I'm not very good at describing my work, if I'm honest with you.
Could you do my CV for me, Andy? Because that sounds like it could open a few doors for me, the way you describe that.
Well, I'm working on my own, so maybe one day. If I can nail my own, then...
Exactly, then you've got a market there, mate. You have got a market there.
Yeah.
Is it mostly about a time, Andy? Like, you know, finding the time to pay, like you said, you having a family and working. Does that mean that art goes on the back burner, basically?
Oh, totally. Yeah, I was in a family with multiple children and dogs and, you know, a mortgage and all that. And then after we separated and went our own merry way, the responsibilities lessened to a certain degree. You know, it's just a little time thing, you know, come on, take me to Asda and all this sort of stuff. It just ruins 2 hours of your evening. Whereas,
life just gets in the way, doesn't it, Andy, to be honest?
Yeah, and I know it does sound selfish to a degree. However,
not at all.
Some of the most successful artists, you know, they spend most of their time on their own, because you need those hours to come up with the ideas and then put them to paper, you know, or to canvas or whatever you want to do.
Yeah, but you've got to have time for your own dream, Andy, haven't you? That's the thing. And as you say, it sounds selfish. I don't think it is at all. I just think if you only get one life, so you've got to feel like you've got to follow that. And if you don't get it out, it could be wasted. You know, you really do.
That's a big part of my mantra, really, because as I said, harping back to my father, who I lost back in November, he's a fantastic artist, and then he never took it anywhere. You know, and he'd sit down with me when I was a kid and say, there, and he'd you know, draw a bird or whatever, because he's really into nature. And I'd be amazed how quickly he'd get something down, and then he didn't go anywhere with it. And then when he retired, he was just on the brink of getting Alzheimer's, so he didn't even use his downtime after his retirement to sort of pick up where he left off, really. And I think part of my driving force since I left my ex is to catch up on my lost years, really, and getting stuff down and getting ideas down and just trying
to show people. That's inspirational, Andy. It really is. Yeah, that is inspirational. That's what people need to do. That you really do, like, you know.
And you've also kind of summed up that there is obviously some kind of, there is an element of nature, hereditariness in art, because obviously your father could express himself through art and you follow through. And I think that's the same with other people we know. They've got other family members who are good at art, where Trevor and myself can't even draw a stick man right.
I'm not that bad, actually, Wayne. Speak for yourself. I'm not that bad, to be honest.
Well, I suppose somebody might like your stick man. I don't know, but it's subjective. But
everyone's a critic, aren't they, Andy? See, everyone's a critic. Really are.
Do you think people can learn to be a good artist, or do you have to have that kind of just inspiration from within, literally?
I think if any of you have met a plasterer and watched a plasterer at work, you've got to remember that a plasterer never used to know how to plaster until he saved quite a few hours making mistakes until he actually got it right.
I think
that carries over with absolutely anything you do in life. I think if you're trying to make, I think I watched one of the comedians, I think it might have been Joe Rogan, interviewing somebody on his podcast, and they're right in what they said, and they sort of pen it that you have to do 10 years in a circuit before you start to reap the rewards of it.
Wow.
I've kind of got that in my head about that's where I'm going with my work.
Yeah.
Really, I've given myself a 10-year period of learning, and then hopefully by that point, you know, I'll have people have sort of recognised my name, and I'll be in different areas and things like that, and then it will start to sort of, people will start to look for me rather than me reaching out to people and going, hello, I'm over here, yeah, like my art.
Yeah. Andy, do you ever look at some of your pieces, and when you've done them, you're so happy with it, that is great, I really have excelled, and then you sell it or whatever you do with it, and then look back at it in 2 years' time and go, what was I thinking? What did I do there? Like, or is it, do you find you're happy with all of it for most of the time?
Well, can I really answer that honestly? Because I might not sell any more art from here on if people think my work.
I didn't think of it like that. You don't want to be saying, well, I wasn't keen on that, and somebody's bought, yeah, sorry, mate, I put you on the spot.
No, I think you're talking from a personal perspective,
yeah, exactly,
Trevor. Because it's subjective, isn't it?
Yeah, of course it is. Yeah, that's what I meant, to be honest.
I'll dig you out of trouble, even though you're horrible
thanks,
to
mate.
Me.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, thanks, mate. Yeah.
I tell you what I find is when I start any piece, I kind of put a few hours into it, and then I take some photographs of it, and then I walk away from it. And then what I do is I look at the photographs of it, and then I'll look at either the donor subject or the photos I've taken of the figure that I'm painting, and then my brain will start to tell me what's wrong with it. And then the second sitting, I'll go back to a canvas, and then the canvas, I'll know immediately what I need to change. Immediately.
Oh, right. So that's your kind of work process, is it? That's brilliant.
Totally. When I'll be on my knees changing a tap or something, and I'm just waiting to see if there's any leaks, and I'll pull out my phone and I have a look at the painting, and I'll start to make mental notes about, you know, God, his eyes in the wrong place, or, you know, legs are too long or whatever. But it's a constant thing with me. When I start a painting, it's always with me until I think it's resolved. And
it's part of you, isn't it, Andy? Do you feel like it's part of you, kind of thing?
Oh, of course it is. Yeah. It's part of my creative vision. I'm never happy with any of my work, if I'm honest with you, because as you get older and you get more skilled and more competent, then obviously you change. And then, you know, where people like your pieces, because you're so involved in the piece of art, you don't really see it for what it is. If you're tiling, you tile a whole bathroom, the customer comes in and says, oh, it's fabulous. And then you think, well, actually, that one's slightly out and that cut could have been better and all that sort of thing. You know?
It's self-critical. Self-critical, that's the thing. Which is a good thing, I think, isn't it? because you're always striving to become better. Yeah, that is, yeah, it's great.
There's other things like that as well. I was thinking as you were saying that, like in regard to the workflow, that sometimes when you're doing so, I mean, it might be as basic as a computer game or a jigsaw puzzle or something, and you're doing. I'm talking from a layman's term here, but you can't see the wood through the. Thanks, Trev. Sometimes you can't see the wood from the tree, so you have to go away from it, and then you come back the next day, and then you see what you was missing straight away. Is that the same with your art? You kind of sometimes it's best to get away and come back to it.
Oh, 100%, 100%. I mean, I've painted images and thought, yeah, that's really good. Gone to sleep next morning, got up and thought, God, the eye is an inch higher than the other eye.
It looks like me in real life.
Well, most people's eyes are slightly higher than one's slightly higher than the other.
Shame you can't change that, Wayne. You should get that done. But perhaps Andy can fix you.
I'll paint it in for you.
Thanks, Andy.
Yeah, that'd be good. I won't be so embarrassed to go out with him if we ever go out.
Oh, here we go. The truth's out now. it's supposed to be about art, not character assassination.
Sorry.
Or physical assassination, sorry.
But it's all right. On that note, you do get so invested sometimes, you cannot see the wood for the trees, for sure. Well, I can't anyway.
No, it's nice to know in a way that, because that's something I think we all experience, and obviously something that you're passionate about rather than just something you spend some time. Sometimes I think we feel like we should just be able to look at it and go, you know, that's what's wrong. But we all need to walk away sometimes, come back. And I think we can put that with a lot to do with our lives. We can all go, I'm being too philosophical now. Trevor's going to say something in a minute.
Check out
Sigmund Freud. Yeah.
Exactly. He's like Trippy Tarker from Monkey. Pearls of Wisdom. What the hell?
I'm being inspired by an artist, Trevor. That's
exactly.
What it is.
Yeah, Andy, you're doing it good, mate. He's completely like.
I'm too used to speaking to Trev, you see. It's no.
Maybe that's my thing. Bottle that and try and sell it. I'll make the name for
So,
go on, Wayne.
No, I was just going to say, so where you're based, obviously in Essex, Andy, is the scene kind of vibrant? The art scene.
Oh, it's massive. It's like everything else. In the last sort of 10 years, there's been an explosion of musical TV programs and art TV programs, and that's just because there's just so many more people doing it now. Instagram's full of amazing and challenging artists, you know, and Facebook and wherever you see it. It just seems to have opened up a plethora of, or an abundance of creative talent, you know, and Leon C and Southend. It's an amazing hub. I mean, I know back in the day, it was a hub for, I think it was VW lovers, wasn't it? Originally, there was lots of the big VW scene in here.
We still own a couple of VWs, so yeah, there's still a big scene for that.
And then that, you know, along with that, the music scene and then the art scene sort of came hand in hand with it, and it sort of still carried through here. But, you know, my Facebook's full of, you know, I must have about 300 people on my Facebook, which are all artists.
That's really cool, isn't it? To know it's really
local.
Blossoming like that. That is great. It does. It makes you quite proud of this area, you know, to be like, to hear that, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does.
Especially
when it's always getting slagged off for, nightclubs and stuff.
Yeah, exactly. That's nice. To be honest, talking to the local scene, Andy, I'm a massive fan of you because I follow you on social media, and I know another artist that you know is Dave Nevard of Nevart, and I follow him as well, and I think he's great as well. And what I like about the local scene, especially you two guys, is you're both very passionate about it, and you're both so different. And I believe you get on quite well anyway, don't you, Dave and yourself?
He's a fascinating character. I love him.
We really want to bring Dave on, and hopefully we will. We can work that out, but it does seem in the local, as you say, it's a really good atmosphere for artists around here. And what I like about it is none of you guys seem the same. It's very diverse around here. There's no kind of following one thing. Do you think, is that true, do you think? Or is it just me being uneducated and not seeing it?
I think it's an outside looking in thing. Because I think I can say cult then, not cult, but with every
scene kind of thing, every scene.
Yeah, every scene, you kind of get overlapping circles, if you know what I mean. Is that, you know, the Lee Art Trail, for instance, has got its own sort of groups within groups, although we're all on the Art Trail, you know, and there's certain artists which are in bed with, not literally in bed, but in bed with other artists, and then they sort of do a similar type of work. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, I think it's fantastic. And so the thing about the South End District area is the sheer volume of different artists that we've got here, you know. And that carries over from everything, sculpture, photography. It's just so packed with different people dying to be heard. And that is the worst thing about being an artist is trying to get yourself known. Out of area.
Yeah, I can imagine. So I know with the Lee Art Trail, because I believe I went and saw some of your art. You had it like a little mini exhibition in like a tattoo studio, didn't you?
Yeah, a tattoo studio and coffee shop on the Lee Road.
Right, okay. Because I think that's a good thing when you guys are crossing over with like the tattoo culture as well, because that gets you noticed, doesn't it?
Oh, big time, that's an art form in itself, you know?
It is, yes, yeah, because obviously I've got a few tattoos, and I know quite a couple of the local artists tattoo-wise. And I think, again, that's another form of expression. I think you can all you guys can get together and really get something out of it. I think that's a great thing. I really do.
I think all the arts are crossover anyway. I mean, when I, you know, the studio I have, is you've possibly been to an opening or not, I always have a local musician play on the day where we have an open day, because I just think it goes hand in hand, art
definitely,
music.
Definitely.
You know, it creates an atmosphere.
I've been with Trev to a few, and Dave Nevs, and they've been quite enjoyable, actually, Trev. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, they were good nights, to be honest, yeah. Andy, could you want to tell us where your kind of art can be seen then in Southend and in Essex?
And online,
yeah.
Yeah. Well, I run a little studio called the Little Known Studio, which is on the Lee Road in Leon C. You have to sort of hunt for it to find it, which I kind of like, to be honest with you, but it's on the main Lee Road anyway. And then use your places, really, Facebook, and anything. If you hashtag Andy Downs Art, you can find me on Facebook or Instagram, or the Little Known Studio's got its own Instagram page as well. Which I'd love to see more people on, so we can promote the art scene in the area.
Yeah, because obviously we'll leave all the links on here, so you can see you and Dave. Because we really want to be getting you, because you know you guys are so talented. We want to get you out there and get people seeing your art, because that's what it's about.
Yes, please.
You know,
yes,
it's brilliant. That'd be great.
Yes, well,
yeah, definitely.
There's no money changing hands, Andy. Sorry.
Well, that's the thing with social media. It's so hard to get your work out there now, because it restricts the amount of people that see your story feed. Anyway, you know, if you've got 350 friends, it'll only show about 40 of them on Facebook. Instagram, 9 times out of 10, they'll shadow ban you for using the wrong hashtag, so then you'll end up coming across as spam. So you go nowhere with that. And then, you know, you might have a 1,500 followers, and then you'll get like 20 likes or 30 likes on something.
Yeah.
It's such a frustration, because you know, I watch TV and then you'll see a drone flying over Mexico City, and then I think, hang on, I don't know, I haven't got any followers from Mexico. How do I get that reach?
How do you get there? Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I can see.
Well, I'll tell you how you can get that reach, Andy, because you're not anybody until you've played our weekly quiz, which is called Test the Guess. Are you happy to have a go at that? Yeah.
Oh, of course, yeah, let's have a go at it.
Brilliant. Well, here's our little jingle for it.
Test the guest.
I hope that didn't frighten you off, Andy.
Andy, you won't believe how much money we had to spend to do that jingle.
Oh, yeah.
It was shocking. Honestly, I've had to remortgage my house to get that jingle done.
Yeah, it's £1.50, actually. But it's subjective. Okay, so it's not, you know, this isn't serious, Andy, because these subjects are so, you know, they're very vast. They're more to have fun and make fun of Trevor, really, more than anything else.
Great stuff.
So the first question to you, Andy, if you don't mind. Name the artist famed for painting the Sistine Chapel ceiling. Do you want the options?
Yeah, go on.
It can be Leonardo, it can be Raphael, it could be Donatello, or it could be Michelangelo.
I'm going to go with Michelangelo.
I just love it because it's Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
I was expecting another one. I was expecting Fred Dibner to come out.
He's about trains, isn't he?
Yeah. I don't know what he's about.
Well done, Andy. You did.
Well done, Andy.
Yeah. So next one for you, Trev. Let's hope you get this one.
Well, here we go.
He's really old. No, it isn't.
14th century impressionist.
No, I'm not like that. That's on. You. my bed... Not literally my bed. My bed was exhibited at the Tate Gallery in 1999 and consisted of a bed with bedroom objects in an abject state. Who was the artist? Do you want the options?
Yes, please.
Was it Bob Carroll, geez? Tony Hart, Richard Constable, or Tracy Emin?
Tracy Emin, he's got to be short.
No, it's Bob Carroll G.
Yeah, I wanted it to be Bob Carroll G. So I wanted
it. It would have been shocking if I weren't familiar, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
With those people. I've been Bob Carroll G's. It would have been like a real horrible silence. Like, oh my God.
Now, I would have gone. It would have gone like that. Exactly. So, next question to you, Andy. The Tate is a network of four art museums. Two are based in London. Give the other two English locations. Is it Bristol and Gloucester, Manchester and Leeds, Lincoln and Birmingham, or Liverpool and St Ives in Cornwall?
Liverpool, St Ives.
Oh, this man knows his stuff.
Wayne,
yes?
Bristol and Gloucester, is that like a make of pickle? Or did you just...
No, they're real places, Trevor. I know you've never left Southend ever in your whole life, but they really exist.
Yeah. I just thought you might have put them together and they sounded like you got them off of a pickle jar or something. Obviously not.
You thought it was a building society or something, didn't you? Yeah.
That's it. Yeah. I was going to say that. Insurance company,
yeah. Andy's got his money. All the money from his paintings are in the Bristol and Gloucester. That's what it is. Earning interest.
That would be a good name for one. Yeah,
it would be, wouldn't it?
Yeah,
or a pub. No,
you just like the word Bristol, really, but it's
unfortunately another, I've always been a big fan of Bristol.
Yeah, there we go. The money shots right there.
The Bristol. Yeah.
So next one to you, Trev. We're not going to forget, it's your turn. What's the well-known name for a painting on a freshly plastered wall? Is it Lesco? Is it Tesco? Is it Fresco? Or is it calcium sulfate rendering?
Can I have the options again, please?
What's the well-known name for painting on a freshly plastered wall? Is it Lesco? Is it Tesco? Is it Fresco? Or is it calcium sulfate rendering?
Lesco.
Oh God, I don't know if you're doing it for comedy effect or not. I don't know. But Andy, can you do this? Can you answer this one, please?
I think it's Fresco, isn't it?
I thought that was coffee or something.
I can't believe the ones I made up have actually caught you out. The calcium sulfate rendering is more of a tiling kind of.
That's a good one.
Yeah, that's good. I like that. That's a work thing.
Fresco was more of a kind of coffee flavor.
That's Kenko. What are you on about?
I don't drink coffee.
Oh dear. Well done, Andy.
Thanks, you submitted me to be as thick as I actually am. That's the problem.
And I don't think you'll have any problem. This is the last question. It's to you, Andy. This is the last one. Okay. You'll be glad to hear. Okay. Which painting was stolen from the National Gallery in Oslo in 1994 and held to ransom for $1 million? And who was the artist? Oh, no, don't say it. You don't need to know who the artist was. Sorry, that's a... Was it The Scream? Was it Mona Lisa? Was it Girl with a Pearl Earring? No, not that, Trev. And was it The Creation of Adam?
Oh, God, I don't really know this one, but I'd go for the Scream.
I think that's what's known in the business as a full house.
Full house.
Well done,
full
Andy.
Well done, Andy.
Well done. Good show.
Taking a bow. Thank you very much.
I've actually got one more question for Andy.
Yeah, go on.
And this isn't a real question. It's more of an opinion. Morph or Chaz, which one were you a bigger fan of?
What, as in Chaz out of Morph?
Yes.
Yes, he knows. Yeah, cool.
Yeah. Morph.
Good.
Yes.
Yeah, see?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, Chaz was a git.
There's a clap for that. Yeah, that's another one.
Yeah, Chaz was a git, wasn't he? You don't, yeah, exactly. I was a bigger Morph fan. Exactly. Yeah,
I just like Morph.
As soon as we were talking about our, I had to get it off my. I'm glad you went that way.
And Andy, just to summarise on, coming off of that high from the quiz. There's just to summarise. I know you're not going to come down anytime soon. Don't worry about that. Where would you suggest? I know somebody myself actually who's asked me to ask somebody who's already exhibiting and everything. I know a local artist who's very talented, and he's not very good with social media or anything. He said, "Where do I start with kind of sort of getting my art out there? What would you say to him, Andy?"
I would say attend every art show you can and just try and network as much as possible.
Brilliant.
I mean, if you're not on social media, then put the legwork in and just old school, try and talk to people. That's all you can do.
So, but if he's worth, if say somebody volunteered to do it for him, Andy, you'd still say that having an Instagram account or something is definitely something you should look into.
Do you know what? My best advice for anybody is to remember the fact that people deal with people. And you could be the best artist in the world, but if you're a bit of an arse, people possibly or probably more likely won't buy your art.
Yeah.
But a lot of people buy into the artist themselves rather than just the art piece.
That makes sense. That makes
brilliant.
A lot of sense.
Yeah. Yeah, so basically this podcast won't really go anywhere because Wayne's such an arse.
I'm never going to be the Joe Rogan of unfortunately.
Yeah, that's brilliant advice, Andy. That's very true. I think people do tend to favour people that are decent folk as good,
yeah.
You know. Yeah,
because you get the you garner the support in the first place, don't you, to get you somewhere, and because these people like you. Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. I mean, art can be so sedentary. You know, you get a lot of galleries which are just white wall galleries and a piece of art standing there. But if you go, oh, yeah, that's nice, and then you move on. But if you've got the artist sitting there and he'll talk about his piece of art, suddenly you're buying into that person rather than just the image on the wall.
Yeah.
And then when you come away from it, you can tell your friends, oh, I spoke to the artist, he's really nice, he's from here, he did this, and da-da-da-da. And you get all this background knowledge that you wouldn't get normally. And that is key because, as I say, we all buy from people at the end of the day.
You're spot on there, Andy, because with the podcast and if people, I mean, all jokes to one side, is when people comment on it, they often say, it's because I like the people that are presenting it, not necessarily me, that's obviously true. But
I'm going to say, why
yeah, okay.
How comes we've got more than two listeners then? Because we're not that popular.
No, well, it's subjective, Trevor. It's like the art. Yeah, but no, that's brilliant advice. Andy, we're going to put all your links on the thing because your work is, I've had a look myself and it's very impressive.
People have got to see like Dave and people like Andy. They really have.
Yeah,
get out there, support your local artist.
They're like little secrets that need to be pushed out and get out there. Yeah, brilliant.
Yeah, lovely. Thanks for joining us today, Andy.
Yeah.
Yeah, brilliant. Thanks very much, Andy.
Thanks, guys. Yeah, cheers. See ya.
Well, after listening to Andy, I feel like I could splash the ceiling, Trev. What do you think? I know where your mind's going.
Well, I've actually been on Amazon and bought myself a little paint set. So
it's inspired you, yeah?
Talented enough. I was looking for talent on Amazon and I couldn't find it. Well, so I'm just going to go with you know.
Well, when last time I told somebody I was going to go and do some painting, they started whistling the theme tune from Brushstrokes. I was like, yeah, thanks for that. Cheers.
You and your 80s CV, man.
I'll tell anyway, you, we finished that episode.
Look, we've just had a very, very in-depth conversation with a very talented guy,
yeah.
And you're talking about 80s CV again.
wrong episode. Sorry, people.
Yeah, Andy came across very well, really sounded like he really supports a local scene.
It's a calling, isn't it, as well? You could tell it's a calling, isn't it?
What I got from Andy, which I really liked, is he comes across as though there's no snobbery in it for him.
No.
I think that's what is brilliant about the local scene, that, you know, you could walk into his gallery and you wouldn't get some, like, guy in a beret looking at you like, what are you doing here?
Yeah.
Or he wouldn't be like, oh, Betty, look at my paint. But no, the good thing is, he'd be really inviting, he'd be really interested in showing you, what's going on. And
exactly.
I think that's what art needs, because I think it's, for your normal people, I think it's quite misunderstood. It's only, and I keep going back to that, because that's how I feel about it, you know. Would you feel comfortable not walking in Andy, if you hadn't spoke to Andy?
No, I know what you're saying. We've been before, like we said, and it's only because we knew some of the people that were exhibiting, and I felt comfortable because you were going. But after listening to Andy, I think it's very accessible. I would encourage people to check out your local art scene. And if there's an exhibition, go along. There's usually a drink to go. And it's very social. Walk around. Because I might have said it before, but people are buying art and prints from their local sort of shed, you know, like the DIY store or something like that. Go and buy an original piece of art. It isn't that expensive.
Exactly. Okay, honey, let's go down the range and pick a couple
a photo of the guys on the Brooklyn Bridge or whatever it is, like hanging off with their lunchbox.
Well, you could easily go and get an original piece.
An original piece of art. It makes you feel special. Honest, yeah.
Yeah, and to be honest, these guys need that support as well, don't they?
Yeah, exactly, Keep your local economy going.
If you walk in someone's house, they go, oh, that's a nice painting. Actually, it's an original.
Yeah, it's a talking piece.
I got that from the artist. That's really
not like
cool.
Harry Potter. No, sorry, man. I've said it's a talking piece, isn't it? And then I thought some people might think I mean like the talking paintings in Harry Potter, but maybe that was just a bit.
That'd freak me out.
And Dawn French was like hanging out of it, like just, you know, sort of speaking to Vicar of Dibley's like hanging out.
Don't even go there.
Yeah, we'll leave all the links to Andy's art on the website for Instagram. But we would encourage you, and I say this is Trevor and myself, and you know how uncultured we are, but we enjoy the art scene, and I would really encourage you to go and check out your local art scene, support them. These guys put a lot of hard work into it, and it really gives your areas a cultural aspect to the local vicinity.
Exactly. What you want, it's really what you want.
So, yeah, thanks, Andy, for that. Thanks for joining us today.
So thank you, Andy. It's been really good.
And thank you to you guys for listening. As always, the website's www.amlopodcast.com. Please leave us a review. Leave us some abuse.
And to be honest, before we go very, very quickly, if you are an aspiring artist, send us some of your stuff in.
Yeah, we'll try and get you noticed.
You know, so we can put it on the site and have a look and show people it.
Yeah, good idea, Trev. Yeah,
that'd be cool. Yeah, definitely. Very good.
Now, thanks, everyone, for listening, as always. And we'll see you on the next one.
See you on the next one.
Cheers, Trev.
See ya, man.